are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here.
Well, another week, and again, the economy remains front and center. On Tuesday, Barack Obama heading off to Denver to sign the $787 billion economic stimulus plan. And the very next day, he was in Phoenix unveiling a $75 billion plan to help troubled homeowners. Your thoughts on the economic approach of the president this week?
Well, it seems as though someone who promised to be a new voice and a man of the future is very much relying on the tested policies of the past, mainly tax and tax, spend and spend. But let me amend those remarks. He hasn't started the taxing yet, but one has to wonder. With just the figures you've given, somebody has to pay for it. And now look, Chrysler and GM having already gotten a major multi-billion dollar loan, want to increase that by double figures. There is just so much out there and only so much money that can cover it. And the president has yet to answer the key question, who's going to pay for it all?
And John, some have said now that Obama has signed this package and charted his own course on this economic recovery, that it's his economy now. Others say that's not fair. All these horrible conditions were in place before he took office less than a month ago. Well, what's the political reality here?
Well, the political reality is that every Republican in the House and all but three Republicans in the Senate voted against the multi-billion dollar stimulus package, which never hit a trillion, but came awfully close to that figure that many of us as children regarded as imaginary or something from fairy tales. Barack Obama, in one fell swoop, drew the line and distinction between the Democratic and Republican parties that have been so muddled in the last 8 years, namely that Republicans are the party of less spending and smaller government. It was very hard to get that across when you had an administration that increased spending at a level greater than that of the previous Democratic administration. That's all changed right now. And it's Barack Obama who's taken the decisive action, committing this country to greater spending and to greater public involvement in the economy at a greater level, I might add, since the Great Depression. He owns the economy, all right, and how the economy goes is going to determine the results of the midterm election and the 12th presidential election.
Well, John, the only Republican help that President Obama needed came from the Senate. He got it from three Republican moderates. Now, of course, the Senate races for 2010 are shaping up, and Republicans already battling a severe deficit in the Senate need to hold the seat of several retiring members. But we've learned this week that former member of the House Republican leadership, Roy Blunt, is seeking the open seat of retiring Senator Kit Bond. We know that the Blunt name has been tarred a little bit because Blunt's son was a very unpopular governor, but what do you see as the chances of Blunt keeping that seat for the GOP?
Well, I must say that he begins as an underdog. I've known Roy Blunt for more than 10 years. I've seen him regularly at a meeting where he briefs conservatives in Washington on what's going on in Congress. I like him. We have a lot of friends in common in the Show Me State, including Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, who I will see this week, and who's the only Republican in statewide office. And that speaks volumes. The classic swing state of Missouri has been trending Democratic in the last two election cycles, with a Democrat winning a Senate race in 06, John McCain carrying it by an eyelash, but as you say, Matt Blunt becoming the only governor of either party to be defeated for re-election last time. That's not promising for Roy Blunt, and I'd have to give Secretary of State Robin Carnahan, daughter of the late governor and U.S. Senator from the state, the edge at this point.
John, another saga continues on Capitol Hill in the U.S. Senate, and that's the Illinois seat, of course, once held by Barack Obama. Then it became basically a criminal investigation because Patrick Fitzgerald accused Rod Blagojevich, the now former governor, of trying to sell the seat. Roland Burris was appointed by Blagojevich despite many protests that he shouldn't be seated. He got seated when he insisted that he was not solicited to raise money or did raise money. Now the story has changed that he tried to but couldn't. He still says he's done nothing wrong. Is he going to stick around?
It's going to be very difficult for him. I don't think that such political novelists as the late Alan Drury and Fletcher Nebel, and if you throw in Joe Klein, Mr. Anonymous, and the author of Primary Colors, could have come up with such a flamboyant saga as we are seeing right now. Roland Burris' story continues to evolve. It's evolved twice in the last 10 days, and now wherever he goes, he's dogged by reporters who want to know, will you resign? He says no, but it's getting extremely difficult for him to go anywhere, let alone do anything. And if that is the case, the new governor of Illinois, Pat Quinn, gets to appoint another Democrat to the Senate, most likely State Attorney General Lisa Madigan, and that would remove her as a rival to him for running for a full term next time. In the meantime, the Republican Party of Illinois, which has been anemic the last few years, suddenly senses there's change in the air.
Real quick, before we move on to our final subject, John, given all this scandal, does it help the Republican Party, or is Illinois just too blue for this to really make a difference in the long run?
It helps the Republican Party. I know of two Republican House members, Mark Kirk, a moderate, and the more conservative Pete Roskam, who are seriously discussing a bid for the Senate themselves.
Moving on to international politics now, John, and the stalemate continues to some extent in Israel, but it looks like the more conservative parties are lining up behind Benjamin Netanyahu to be the next prime minister. He's the one likely to be able to form a coalition government. What does that mean for the Middle East? What does it mean for our relationship with Israel?
Netanyahu is known as a hawk. He will probably be very hard line on Iran as well as on Syria, and would go even further than the Olmert government did in prosecuting Israel's enemies and refusing to let the Palestinian Directorate become an actual state. Where it goes from there, stay tuned. We may have another election before it gets that far.
John, we'll keep track of it, as I know you will. Thanks so much for your time, as always.
As I find that life is never boring and I'm enjoying my job all the more, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.